Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Straight on triple, and it goes for the reigning MVP.
He attacked.
Brunson on Maxi. Embiid wants it. Embiid from the wing. Dead on the shot clock. Hartenstein all over Embiid. Joel wants to give it to Tyrese. Five to shoot. Maxi back to Joe. Embiid for three. Using Embiid. Behind the back, Kyle goes. Back to Joel. Joel for three.
What a night it was. Joel Embiid, 50. As the Sixers get Game 3 against the Knicks. 215-592-9494 as we react to a really incredible day in Philadelphia sports. A Phillies win. We'll talk to Scott Fransky coming up in an hour. Fransky Friday, as the pitching staff continues to be really excellent. Wheeler yesterday only allowed one hit. So Phillies started off, and then, of course, we get the draft, and we get Joel Embiid, 50 points. And I'm telling you, I'm looking at my notes from watching the game. The first thing I wrote down is Joel kidding me? When he takes down Mitchell, because I thought he was going to get thrown out of that game.
He was mad, Joe.
Yeah, but he's got to be more mature than that. He does.
Yeah, he does. But I like it. I think it was a momentum changer.
Like the fire in him.
Yeah, I mean, that was the most enthusiasm. I guess that's the word we can use that we've seen from him in a long time.
I think you're right.
And I look at it like this: he went out there and he backed up what he talked about. That's the bottom line. Like, that's the one thing that I can think of that. Sixers fans have been real skeptical about over the years, that when he says something, he actually goes out there and does it. And he did last night.
Yeah, and it's rare that he plays at that level in the playoffs. I mean, obviously, it's rare anyone to score 50 in the playoffs. But, you know, we know how great he could be in the regular season. He's an all-time scorer in terms of points per minute and efficiency. And for all these years in the playoffs, we haven't seen much of that. It's been more okay, pretty good to good than, oh my goodness gracious, like he does in the regular season. Last night he did it. Shaquille O'Neal after the game talking about Embiid. And really it's about what happened early in the game and the mentality of Embiid and how he's got to, you know, rein in a little bit.
I like the way Joel and Embiid is playing. You have to understand, when you're the leader, when you're the go-to guy, if this game don't go right, they're going to blame you. I agree with Greg Anthony. Needs to calm down a little bit too emotional. Stop worrying about the referees. Stop crying. Stop falling on every jump shot you take and just play the game.
And that was at halftime. That's what he did in the third quarter, Hugh. It felt like when the threes started to fall, he stopped worrying about all the other nonsense. The Knicks, what they were doing to him, looking for fouls. He just hit his shots.
He looked comfortable. I mean, that's the bottom line. I think, like, remember last year when I was talking about Joel Embiid and it looked like he found his mojo in that one game? I think he had like 30 or 40. And then he regressed. It looks like now that he is more comfortable. I mean, he's comfortable in some of the things that he can do. And like, he's getting healthier. 41 minutes last night. I don't think you
it's
can
a lot of minutes.
That. It's a lot of minutes for him to play. And like I said, I said it jokingly, but I'm dead serious. Anger is a hell of a motivator. Like, it really, really is. You talk about that adrenaline rush that you get from being upset with somebody, and he was out there trash talking. This is going to be a back-and-forth series. You know, the Knicks are going to try to come and try to, you know, take control of this thing again. You can't let that happen. I like the fact that whose face was Joel Embiid? Was it
DiVincenzo?
It was DiVincenzo, and who else was it? It was wasn't it Hardenstein? He was in his face
A little bit of that too. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, he like Hardenstein had been all up in Joel Embiid's grill the last couple of games. Joel Embiid's chirping back. I like that. I like that a lot.
So let me ask. Let me throw out a question, and I don't know the answer to it. I have a theory. I don't know, have a definitive answer. If game two didn't happen the way it did, right? Like with the referees, the 2-minute report where they admitted they were wrong and they cost the Sixers. If that never happened, let's erase that. Let's say game two is just
1-1. It's 1-1.
1-1, right? And the end of that game never happened. Does Joel Embiid get thrown out of the game last night with a flagrant two?
Probably. I think so. I mean, because listen, I'm like everybody else. When I saw that, I thought he was gone. But you got to let him play. Like, you talk about – like, put it like this, Joe. If that was in New York, Joel Embiid's probably gone.
I think you might be right. I mean,
Joel Embiid, I mean, there's an advantage to home cooking. And I think we got a little bit of that last night. You can't let that happen again, though, bro.
For as much as we were annoyed at what happened with the refs up in New York at game two, it may have saved Joel last night because that's the kind of play where they could have thrown him out.
He gets thrown out of the game. Good Google.
Oh, it went from a game that would have been his defining moment in the bad way in the postseason, getting thrown out in the first quarter in a must-win game, to his defining moment in his best moment in the playoffs, but a 50-point game last night. 215-592-9494. For reaction to the Sixers and beating, of course, Quinyon Mitchell with the 22nd pick in the draft. Chuck in Mount Airy. Hey, Chuck.
Yo, Gillio. What's the dealio? What's up,
Hugh? What up, man?
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, listen. Great night yesterday in Philadelphia. But we got a series now. I told you, listen, I ran into Greg Anthony at one of the cigar lounges I go to. He was in town. I guess he called the game yesterday. And he said the Sixers were going to win the series. He's been down 2-0. He was down 2-0, and he still said the Sixers would come back and win the series. You know, so Joel, man, hats off to Joel. I always rip Joel, but, you know, the guy panned through Bell palsy and knee injury and all types of stuff, man. Hats off to the guy, man. I have nothing bad to say about the guy. He's done nothing but done everything I've asked since he's come back. And, man, you know, I think we still win the series. I told you in six. We're going to rip off three more against the Knicks and win in six.
Well, Chuck, if they get Sunday, the momentum's all going to be theirs going back to New York. And then if they get that, it's amazing. They could close this thing back out here in six. It would be amazing.
Yeah, it would be. And you know, the Eagles. And real quick, this fan base, you know what I mean? This fan base, I don't recognize this fan base anymore. I don't. I mean, you know, you sell your soul to the devil for a couple of hours. Like, if you're going to sell your tickets, tell them that your friends or family are Sixers fans. I mean, it just was ridiculous yesterday. And I was at the game yesterday. It was ridiculous yesterday to see how many Knicks fans was in the building during a playoff game, man. And people say, oh, well, it's the ownership. They don't like the ownership, the fan. I don't like the owner. But it's about the city of Philadelphia versus New York, man. Like, you know what I mean? It's the rivalry. It's the Philly on the front of the chest, man. You know what I mean? Back in the day, you know, when the owner, what was that, Brian, what's his name, Baron, what was his name back in the day, but they traded away Reggie White, Norman Brayman.
Oh, Norman Brayman, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Nobody cared for him.
Right.
But I love Reggie White. I love Cunningham. You know what I mean? Seth Joyner. You know, that was a team that I love, the Eagles, man. You know, so that's no excuse, man. Like, it was horrible, man. It was pathetic.
Yeah,
man.
And I don't buy the excuse of not liking the owner, because the people bought the tickets in the first place. They're their tickets, exactly. And then they sold them. They sold them for money. They didn't want to go last night.
Exactly. Thank you, Joe. And I just don't recognize this fan base anymore, man. It ain't the same, man. I'm starting to question if we the best fan base in all the world, like we say we are, man. That's all I'm saying. But as far as the pick go, I'm a wait and see guy when it comes to this pick. You know, he played for Toledo. You know, I would much rather win with somebody like Kool-Aid, you know, Kool-Aid.
Or Terrion Arnold. I mean, we're going to compare.
No, Ike was on Terrion Arnold.
Yeah, I mean, and Chuck, it's a good phone call. We're going to compare, and we appreciate it. We're going to compare Terrion Arnold and Quinyon for a while because they were picked two picks away, and then the Lions got Terrion Arnold, right? So another NFC contender. They might play each other, you know, in the postseason or whatnot. As far as the fan thing last night, yeah, it's a bad look. I mean, I expect that to be there to be less of that in game four. I'll be annoyed if there's all this Knicks.
No, it probably won't be that in game four, because I look at it like this. Like, I'm not and I'm not absolving the fans for selling their tickets, but I understand. Because there's a lot of people out there, Joe, no matter how much we sit here and we talk about this team and believe in this team. There's a lot of fans that look at him and they don't believe it because they've been here before.
That's what it was.
The long-suffering fan. I get that.
The people who sold their tickets last night to Knicks fans gave up on the Sixers.
And then not only that, from what I've heard, the streets have been talking. They had cracked those Knicks fans for those tickets. And it was still, like, for the Knicks fans, it was still cheaper than what they would have paid to go to the Garden.
But you got to have a little bit of Philadelphia pride. And
you can't sell it to a Knicks fan. But listen, you've been hurt over the last couple of years, and it felt like it was going to be more the same.
I know. I mean, I get it.
So why not take advantage of the Knicks fans and head crack them for the ticket?
Because you're hurting the Sixers.
Yeah, but I don't think it's not going to happen again. But it happened, you know, unless some people sold them as a package deal. But I don't mind you getting over on Knicks fans. I don't mind that. I don't mind that.
Yeah, you're too focused on the making money aspect of it and not supporting your team aspect.
I'm just saying, under these circumstances, I think it's warranted because nobody believed in the team initially.
I don't believe anyone sold those tickets because it was a good profit boost. They sold it because they gave up on the Sixers.
That's what I'm saying.
And they head cracked.
But it cares about the money they made.
And also, if people have a lot of money, they don't care. Like, imagine if someone just is rich coming up down from New York. They don't care. They'll pay extra. They want to be at the game.
Well, I tell you, it costs a lot of money to live in New York. So they come down here, it's like a vacation.
I'm sure, yeah. you know what I'm saying? For people that have it, they don't care they paid extra. I just don't want to see a bunch of Knicks fans jumping up and down.
How about just don't abandon your team when you're down 2-0 in the series?
It won't happen again.
Well, Chuck said this. How about selling them to a Sixers fan? I know the secondary market now, it changes things, right? You just put them up and then someone could buy them. You don't know who that person is or where they're coming from. But, like, you know, in the old days, yeah, you don't want to go. You want to make a profit. You sell it to someone who's from here.
Y'all don't understand how making a profit work, do you?
Sure.
I'm saying how many Sixers fans at this point.
It's not about making a profit.
The point is who cares about the profit?
It is about overtime in your job, dude.
Do you want to go work for the stock exchange in New York, or you want sports radio? It's not about making a profit.
I just understand where they're coming from.
I don't give a shit.
I'm not mad.
Hold on. Sell it to a Sixers fan then. Like, that's fine. You don't want to go?
You know what? You guys got too many rules, man.
No, it's not rules. Like, it's pretty simple. It comes down to fandom of the sports team, not the money that's in somebody else's pocket.
If I'm not mistaken, when you sitting here a couple days ago, didn't kind of believe in them.
This is all
bit?
Like, well, of course not. But like, I didn't have a ticket and sell it to a Knicks fan. Right. That's the whole thing. Like, Hugh, it's the same thing with Tobias Harris. Is you're worried about the money he's making?
I'm just
worried about Sixers fans making money. How about the team?
All right, if this happens, this better not happen again.
I'm just saying he's been consistently giving you 8 points.
He stinks. Let's just say he stinks. Okay. In game four, I don't think it'll happen again because they're back in the series now. But I better not see it again because home court advantage is supposed to matter. It's supposed to be an advantage. And when I'm hearing Knicks fans, I was listening this morning to the morning show, and DeCamera had said, or Rhea had said she had heard 7,000 about of the 20,000 were Knicks fans. That's a big number. And then Seltzer had mentioned that one of his friends was there, and they thought it was closer to half the building was Knicks fans. That's rough. I mean, that's rough.
When you talk about the home court advantage, yeah. It won't be like that.
We are very lucky because last night had the potential to go down as an all-time bad Sixers.
Embarrassment.
If Joel got thrown out and we had to hear Knicks fans for four quarters yapping, I mean, that would have been bad.
Yeah, but at least some Sixers fans made a profit.
Good for them.
Hey,
for them.
They're selling their tickets for like $2,000 a pop.
You know what? Shut up.
I don't care.
That's a lot of money, man.
Who cares?
A lot of money. We're in a recession.
Oh, my God. Who cares?
That's how my check. We're still in a recession.
The Sixers
right?
are down 2-1. That's the recession I'm worried about.
Recessions come and go.
I'm just saying,
playoff
man.
Runs are forever, you.
I feel like we've been in this one for a while, right, though, Joe. I'm just saying.
Yeah, all right. Let's go to Gary in South Philly. What's up, Gary?
How you doing?
Good, what's Gary. Up, what are you feeling?
Well, it almost felt like not throwing him out was payback for blowing that call Tuesday night.
Gary, I think there's something to that. If that game two goes differently and they don't have those bad calls and they don't admit to them,
gone.
I think he's thrown out last night.
He's gone. But look at it this way. He wasn't really trying to pull him down. He was trying to pull him to make sure he didn't fall on that bad left knee.
Well, we could say that, but the reality is he pulled him down, right? Whether it was intentional or not, he pulled him down.
I thought he was gone. I thought he was gone. But, hey, they got, you know, they made up for it. You know, they made up for it. So now the commissioner can suspend himself because they made up for it so the gambling people can do their thing. Anyway, I'm going to leave that alone now. I love the picks, and the fact that he turned down NIL money because he could have left Toledo, but he was loyal. And that means a lot to me from my military time. He was loyal to Toledo, and he's going to show them, because like you said, Hugh, when you come from a smaller school, you got to show these guys I'm just as good as you.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what I think, you know, was one of the things that he wants to show.
And that's going to be his thing.
Yeah, definitely. He's going to come with a chip on his shoulder.
Yep.
Well, Gary, so I like it too, man. It's a good phone call. I know it just feels like so many athletes today are me over the team. Right? It's about me. And I'm not – like, it's okay to – and I'm not against NIL or any of that and kids making money. But I just think it's cool that he was loyal to the team that was loyal to him when he had some issues coming out of high school. And
hey, Toledo!
And there you go. And then I like the hey, Toledo drop.
And I tell you what, man. Like as an older man, I feel like, you know, you go back and you look at some of the decisions that you made and you can't be – upset about him. But when I think about the potential NIL money he could have gotten at Alabama and some of the perks that he would have gotten, and he turned that down to stay in Toledo. Like, listen, I love the fact that he came from a MAC school, small school in Ohio. But damn it, man, have you been to Tuscaloosa?
I have not, but I know there's way more fans there than in Toledo.
Gosh, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like the Hollywood of the South. It's banana, especially on game day.
And I never heard anyone call Toledo the Hollywood of the Midwest.
No, nobody. the armpit of the Midwest.
And that you said it, not me. So, all right. I was thinking about this. Doesn't it feel now like we got a real, legitimate playoff series? We have everyone hates the refs on both sides now.
Yes.
We got villains on both sides now, because Knicks fans now hate Embiid.
And Joel Embiid is coming out of his shell.
Right. We got Embiid with the kind of the storyline of the injury versus the play. We got the back and forth of the series now. We got villains on both sides.
The Bell palsy situation.
You throw that in.
I tell you what, it has to be some people out there feel bad about talking bad about Joel Embiid now, especially after you hear all of that he's been going through.
Well, yeah. I mean, you feel bad. I mean, you certainly feel bad. The ailments he's gone through, just human to human. That's
like,
tough.
Like the average person. I mean, I would be curious to know, like the average person who has dealt with this, what has been some of their challenges on like a day-to-day basis? Because I could imagine that, you know, not having control of one side of your body or your side of your face or whatever, That has to be something that is like to be and to be an athlete, that has to be tough. That has to be something where you had to really fight to control certain aspects of your limbs or whatnot.
So I have no idea how long it's every person, and I don't know how long he'll be better. But you know how long it could take? I was reading about it this morning. It could be fully recovered in 3 to 6 months. This is not like a quick thing. So like this is part of what he's got to deal with.
Yeah,
now.
That's what I'm saying. And it's like, from what I understand about it, Joe, it's like your body could do whatever the hell it wants to do whenever it wants to do it. And we saw a little bit of that in his face when he was at the free throw line. So it's I just can't imagine the struggle that he has to just allow his body just to go run up and down the court and shoot threes and be the productive dude that he was last night.
Well, I mean, here's the reality. Because of the knee and because of the Bell's palsy, there's never going to be a moment where he probably feels comfortable. And he's just got to fight through that and play the best he can. And last night, he was incredible. Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Happy Philly Friday, man.
Happy Friday, man.
A great Friday here. What's going on, Chris?
There's a lot going on. First of all, Mr. Hugh Douglas. I was about to call in and have your six on some of this stuff, but No. Then I realized that who's on the air today? It's Atlanta Hugh.
What'd I do? What I do now?
What'd you do? You know, listen, those New York rats need to keep their filth up in their city. Don't be coming down here and they'll be like, yeah, well, people cash in. Nah.
I just see the silver lining in things, man. I'm sorry.
We don't need that today. These are Knicks fans. They're cockroaches,
saying, Hugh. But it's some folks out there made out like some fat rats, though.
Oh my God.
But they are
Who cares?
Fat rats. They're bad fans. If you sold a ticket last night to a Knicks fan, you're a bad fan.
Why should anybody here listening care? that, no, that, I'm that just some people made a little extra money on Knicks.
Because they're Sixers fans.
Okay, fine.
They're bad fans is what they are.
Honestly. Oh, now they're bad fans.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay. Dude. If you sold a ticket last night specifically to a Knicks fan, you're a bad fan. Now, what if you couldn't go, sell it to your neighbor.
What if they sold them for like $6,000?
They're a bad fan with extra money in their pocket.
Who cares?
What if they needed that?
Forget the money. How about Sixers fans in the seat instead of a Knicks fan? That's all we should be concerned about.
I'm just rooting for my Phillies fans to do well.
No, 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 no. You're rooting for Embiid to get booed at the free throw line in his own stadium.
Hugh, I'm gonna, you know, we got to move on, but I'm gonna leave you with this. Hugh, you're better than that. All right,
their money.
Yeah, you're better than money.
Okay, fine.
You're better than that. Expect more out of somebody that their jersey's hanging at the link. All right, so let's just move on.
I hear you.
Wow, he hits you with that one. That was like, I'm disappointed to your kid. Now, yeah, that one.
You, as I knock you down, now I'm going to pick you up. So,
okay, I appreciate it. Get me right, Chris.
Let's address this draft thing here. So, the stupid fans that say, oh, but he played at Toledo and it's a small school and everything. Do not bring that noise and nonsense to the midday show, because you're talking to a small school guy that when he got drafted, you know, Kyle's got the clip, nobody knew who he was. I'm pretty sure that young Thundercat went and brought in a defensive player of the year rookie award. So, you know, this is total crap. You look at him go against the top playing guys. He dominated them at the Senior Bowl. He wants that smoke. He's got that smoke. And you know what, guys, if we're speaking about some smoke, here we go. All right. You know what? Here's what's going on then in Philly, right? Let's recap it. Joel took a knee to Hartstein's, you know, his manhood area, because that's what the Sixers about to do to the Knicks. They ain't playing no more. You woke up the sleeping giant, you got the giant. Joel brought that smoke and that noise. Harper went yard to celebrate the birth of his third child. And you know what he did? He did it in Philly style. He turned to that troll of a fan in Cincinnati, and he let him know what it's about. Yeah, that's right. You wanted that noise. You couldn't handle that noise. And then Howie goes in and gets us a lockdown, shutdown corner. A man who is strong. He's going to be physical at the line. He's going to tackle. He is weak and soft like Sledge. He gave us the guy that's the opposite of Sledge. And then, on top of it, the man runs a 4.3 40. No more getting burned by Toast Sadberry on the other side. So you know what? It's Friday, Philly. Here we go. Let's go, Sixers. Let's go, Philly.
Oh, that was an all-timer from Chris. An all-timer. I don't know the last time he got three teams in there once. I mean, that was a darn good one there.
Yeah, that was
from Chris in Middletown. Pumped up.
Great.
You see how excited people are just to get Bradbury off the field? I mean, that you can't get that kind of emotion.
That's the guy that consists of that. He's out of here.
I've been trying to say this for 8 months. That pass defense was embarrassing. And at least we have someone now that we hope and we think could cover a little bit. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to some more commentary on the Mitchell pick after break. You're going to hear from some heavy hitters next. Bill Belichick, Ocho Cinco, and an annual tradition here, Micah Parsons. There's nothing better than when Micah Parsons is frustrated and upset when the Eagles get a good player. You hear from Belichick, Chad Ocho Cinco. What did they think of Quinyon Mitchell and Micah Parsons reacting live to the pick? Your calls on that, reaction to Quinyon Mitchell and the Sixers getting a big win in Game 3. We have ourselves a series. 215-592-9490 for Midday Show.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What are your thoughts on somebody playing at Toledo and then getting drafted in the first round of the NFL? That's very abnormal, obviously.
Yeah, and I think what helped them a little bit was the Senior Bowl, playing against good competition there. But they played some good schools. You know, they played Illinois. He had a big game against Northern Illinois with the three interceptions. But I think this is a big physical kid that'll help also play on special teams. So he'll help them on all four downs. But really is a perimeter guy. And you know, this guy, he's got good skills, and I'm sure they'll develop him and, you know, just be a better man-to-man player. He hasn't played, you know, probably enough man-to-man against high-level competition yet, but, you know, he'll get there.
A familiar voice, Bill Belichick on the
Bill
Pat
Belichick
McAfee.
Trying to get the get his TV chops down.
I got to tell you, he's pretty good at it. I enjoyed the Belichick stuff last night. He was with McAfee, and I mean, you could tell he's not checked out. He was up on every single player that they asked him about.
Hey, man, listen. Me and him really didn't get along, but you're talking about a smart coach. He's a smart coach, man. He knows a lot of football.
I could listen to Bill Belichick talk about football literally all day.
I think he's going to be interesting on this TV stuff. So he was very complimentary of Quinyon Mitchell, thinks the Eagles made a good pick there. Also complimentary, Chad Ochocinco. Listen to what he had to say. He took exception to people that didn't like the pick. Here's Ochocinco on the Eagles drafting of Quinyon Mitchell.
Young Bull. I like Young Bull from I like the Eagles pick. Young Bull. I like Young Bull from Toledo.
Toledo. Yeah. Man, they listen, needed a DB.
Hey. And he's so nice too. He's so nice. I don't care nothing about him coming from Toledo. And people will talk about, oh, the competition he had to play against. Man, listen, he jumps out at you on tape.
Nice feet.
He jumps at you out you. Listen, coverage, zone, man. Everything. He nice. He's so he's what I call, even though he's come out of college, he's so polished as if he's already been in the NFL. So you can tell whoever does this coaching in the offseason, they on point.
Look at his feet. Yeah. Look how smooth he is.
Well, he is smooth. I mean, Hugh, you mentioned that. I think everyone who talks about him mentions he looks the part. He plays the part. Now it's just about doing it at a high level.
Yeah, he does. He does look the part. And there are certain things in his toolbox that you just can't coach. Can't coach speed. And I feel like that's going to be, until he the game slows down for him, probably going to be his biggest asset, that he's going to have that recovery speed. He's going to get beat. Like, listen, he's going to be like everybody else. Like my friends used to tell me, or my teammates used to tell me, it ain't the record. You're going to get beat sometime. It ain't the record. So just go out there and be like, you know, water off your duck's back and just get out there and get it done.
All right, we've heard some pretty big football guys there, right? Bill Belichick, Chad Ochocinco. I mean, high-level football guys. I mean, a star receiver, best coach of all time. Now we got our own football guy at WIP. Not quite seeing it the same way. Elliot Shore Parks last night, as the pick went down, his take on Quinyon Mitchell.
So I don't think he picked the right one. There are three corners I would have taken ahead of Quinyon Mitchell.
Three?
I would have taken both of the Alabama corners, Terrion Arnold, Kool-Aid McKinstry, and I would have taken Nate Wiggins. I like Nate Wiggins better than I like Quinyon Mitchell. But what I think, what to me, my main takeaway from the pick is how he really put his neck out on the line, and they're really, really trusting their scouting on this. And that I appreciate. I can respect if you feel strongly about somebody going out and getting him. But when I look at Quinyon Mitchell, he didn't play at a high level. He doesn't have great size. He did run a fast 40, which is impressive. He's not super long. He's almost 23. And I just, you know, these past few years, we've praised Eagles so much for doing the simple thing. Take the guys from the big schools, right? For so many years, they didn't do it. And then they did it the past few years, and we thought it was a great strategy. Mm-hmm. So I just last night, if it was me, I would have taken a number of other corners.
So while you may disagree with Elliott's assessment of ranking the corners, he's right about one thing. Howie did put himself out there because he chose the small school kid over the kids at Alabama and the kid from Clemson, right? He did that.
Yeah, but at the same time, we look at most pundits when they rated these corners, he was rated the best corner in the game.
Yeah, and it wasn't a huge gap, but yeah, I think a lot of people had
They had him at the best corner in the game. So, I mean, it's one of those things. Is it about what school he went to or the fact that he could play? Like the dude, like I don't know, like a lot of people, it all depends on who you listen to. But for the most part, a lot of people feel like he didn't dominate at his division. He didn't dominate, but he played extremely well. And when he stepped up in competition, he played extremely well.
Well, and that's the key now. Well, and you mentioned step up in competition, the Senior Bowl. That's where the Eagles referenced that a lot. They saw him there. They liked him there. And it kind of solidified what they think. I liked Quinyon Mitchell. I think it's a good pick. Do I have a little bit of reservation till I see him in the NFL? Sure. I mean, he played the Mac. I mean, I think it's fair to say week to week he didn't play NFL wide receivers. The Eagles think he can. I do agree with Elliott on the point that it will be judged against those other guys. Right? It wasn't like they were off the board.
That's what we always do.
Yeah.
Like, listen. It would not. I'm pretty sure he's gonna know that. Like everybody does that. This has been going on in the draft for eons. Everybody is always looking at the guy who was there and the guy that you took, and seeing who has the better career. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast.
Just like I'm sure back in 1995 when a certain New York Jets team took a Central State pass rusher. I'm sure fans up there.
We
took
him. They don't know who he is. Listen,
over this guy and that guy.
When I tell you, Joe. Again, another thing that I never forget. We were two games in, and the heat was already. I was already starting to feel the heat. Didn't have a sack. Started to see the little story because you know we used to get the press clippings used to come like they used to take all the press clippings and just put them in the locker room. Mm-hmm. So cats would be in the locker room, and you know they'd be like, "Yeah, dog, I see." Like you know, the locker room lawyers, the guys that want to make you feel bad or put it on your mind. Hey, yeah, dog. See, they talking about you already, homeboy. You know, you ain't. Don't worry about it, though. You know, they say stuff like that. Don't worry about it, though. You'll be all right. They ain't talking about you ain't got to the quarterback yet. So I would read this stuff. And I remember going into the third game, we was getting ready to play Jacksonville. And I remember my coach was like, hey, Doug, you know, got to get to the quarterback. Like, it was start. Like,
It's time.
You know, and I'm like, damn, dog, I only been here 3 weeks. So fortunate enough for me, I had a 3-sack day, and then after that, it was a wrap.
You know what? I just looked this up. To the Jets' credit for picking you, and then your credit for playing this way, nobody drafted after you in your draft had more sacks than you. Now, two guys had more in the draft, but they were picked before you, Kevin Carter and Sapp.
Yeah, yeah.
But when Hugh was picked at 15, nobody behind you in your draft had more sacks than
you. Man, I tell you.
You lived up to it.
And it was like, when I tell you, dog, it was pressure. Like, I started to feel that. It was just like somebody had a lighter, like, close to your face in the heat. Because it was starting to get hot in New York. It was starting to get hot.
I'm not surprised. All right,
yeah.
Let's go back to the phone lines here. And then we got to let you hear Micah Parsons. Because it's one of my favorite things now. Because he does this live show on Bleacher Report during the draft. And him reacting yearly to the Eagles pick. And he's always upset because they get a good player. And he wears it. We'll let you hear that coming up in a couple minutes here. We got Herb. What's going on, Herb?
You know, Joe. I really thought the Alabama guy was sitting right in your pants, okay? You didn't have to do nothing. You didn't have to trade up to get him. But I'll right now, after hearing Reddick talk, Lewis Reddick, I'll give this guy a pass and wait and see what he's got when he gets on the field. So, you know, Durham, I'm hoping – they got 50 and 53. I'm hoping that Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is there at 50 and they take him.
I think he will be there. Herb, if I had a guess, I think he's going to be there.
And I'd like to see them go for another linebacker, okay, at 53, okay?
So you want two linebackers tonight?
Dueling linebackers.
They don't even, I'm going to tell you, I was talking with some people. They don't even know if this defense is going to be a 3-4 or a 4-3 or if it's going to be
Can't you hit up Vic Fangio and find out?
We need answers here, Herb. Yeah, real answers.
The thing is that I like Jeremiah Trotter, and I can put him in safety blitz issues. Like, when I want to rush him and I want to rush another guy, I'm going to use two blitzers, one on one side and one on the other.
Right.
Okay? That's where I would use him at on passing downs, okay?
Well, Herb, there's good linebackers there tonight, Herb. And, Herb, man, we appreciate it. Herb, you got to get some answers for us. 3-4, 4-3, what did he say, 3-3?
What are Herb doing this weekend? You think he's watching the rest of the draft?
Oh, he's locked in. Yeah. I mean, I'd be surprised anything else.
Probably making phone calls.
Well, we need answers.
That's right.
To what kind of scheme they're running. There are good linebackers available tonight, by the way. None went in the first round. So, obviously, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is the one we're all looking for. But there's a lot. I mean, you go to
Edger Cooper, right?
Edge Cooper, Junior Colson from Michigan, Peyton Wilson from NC State. There's probably three or four, if we include Jeremiah Trotter Jr., that will go either tonight or, you know, tomorrow. But I would think some of these guys are going to go pretty soon tonight off the board. Tyrone in Middletown. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Tyrone?
What's up, Tyrone?
Oh, wow, man. The draft was cool last night. But I'd like to tip my hat to Joel Embiid and the Sixers first before I comment on the draft. I think he showed a great measure of heart. I think due to his medical situation, I'd like to shout out to the other players on the team, particularly the guy coming off the bench, Campaign. I think that's his name. He
yes.
hit a couple of threes, and he actually showed a fire that the Sixers actually needed at the time. And they also had four guys in double figures, and two were a basket away from joining, from making it six in double figures. I think that though Tobias Harris, I don't know what to say about him. If he would have gave him 17 points, it would have been a much easier game. That's what he should have done. But I don't know. I guess he's I don't know. But I want to focus on the positive. Last night, Joel tipped my hat to him. He showed a lot of heart, determination, and he wanted to win. And Maxie hit some big shots. It was a total team effort. And I think they'll bounce back and win. And commenting on the draft, I was glad they got, I think it's Quinyon Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's fast. You know, he's about 200 pounds. He's not only fast, but what I like about him, he has what you call that quick twitch kind of thing. And he reminds me of a little bit of Lito Shepherd, with one of my all-time favorite Eagles. And I think that, I don't know, hopefully he'll develop into something special. Do you think that they're going to pick one of these linebackers tonight? Because they got a couple.
I'm not going to hold my breath, Tyrone. I mean, listen, I think we all hope they do. And, Tyrone, we appreciate the phone call. I'm not holding my breath, though. Let's just be real about tonight. I think they're going to get an offensive lineman. I mean, what was yesterday's conversation? O-line. Or corner, right? And
yeah,
so they got the corner. I think one of these two picks tonight is an offensive lineman.
But you know what's funny about last night is because the young offensive lineman from Georgia that got taken early.
Amaris Mims to
Amaris
the
Mims,
Bengals.
That felt like that was a reach. Like when you talk about the offensive players that was taken. And the only reason I say that's a reach, because he didn't play a whole lot this year, and it was a small sampling size
Eight
of
games.
What he was.
Yeah. Eight games.
So I think that we could probably get some guys that probably potentially we could develop probably in the third round, third or fourth.
Well, they don't have a third round pick.
So they got?
Two picks tonight. Well, they're two picks in the second round, 50 and 53. Mm-hmm. No third round pick, and then we got fourth rounders. So
okay, so maybe in the fourth round.
I see. I'm not comfortable with that because – I just think their depth on the offense.
You want the depth.
I'm worried, like, especially the tackle position. Like if Lane or Mailata gets banged up this year, I'm concerned with the depth of tackle.
Yeah.
So I'd like one of these two picks tonight to be a tackle that maybe could play guard, like what we were talking about yesterday, but just now in the second round.
So you're looking at somebody who could potentially – because, like, when you talk about it like that, Joe, you're looking at somebody who could potentially come in and play, like, right away.
Yeah, if they need him, yeah.
Okay.
So I know there's one player, Roger Rosengarten, he's from Washington, that I saw, you know, you kind of see these lists of the best available.
Mm-hmm.
He's on that. Like, people thought he might have been a bottom of the first round pick. We'll see where he goes tonight. I expect an offensive lineman. Now, the other pick tonight, I think it could be anything. I mean, would you be surprised if it's a wide receiver tonight at the second pick?
I wouldn't be surprised at that. Or linebacker, maybe.
Linebacker, wide receiver.
Maybe get some linebacker depth. I think it's kind of up in the air for potentially what it could be.
I could also be a pass rusher. I mean, I know there was a lot of debate yesterday on the show before we came on with the Spike and Ike and the cameras with them and Jack, whether they still need a pass rusher or a D tackle. That's why it's so great they didn't have to trade up last night. They still have both of these picks now. Yeah. So they can make two more picks now in the second round.
And it kind of makes you wonder what side of the ball. Like, we all know that there's probably a huge need, more so on that side of the ball than the others, is defensive line or the defense, period.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge need over there, because we talked about it all night long. There's a lot of people who feel like there's a huge void of talent on that defensive side of the ball.
But I will bend tonight to you guys, the offensive people of the world. They got a corner. I'm okay tonight if these are offensive picks. Like, I'm not going to be upset if tonight the two picks are offensive lineman and wide receiver. I'm okay with that. All right, can we hear from Micah Parsons here? Micah Parsons, he does the Bleacher Report live stream. And usually whenever Micah talks, I'm not intently listening because I just think he's goofy. But I do find it funny when he is upset that the Eagles get good players. Last year, he threw a fit when they drafted Jalen Carter. Last night, here's his reaction to the Eagles drafting Quinyon Mitchell.
Micah, how you feeling?
I mean, I'm honestly utterly disgusted on how lucky the Eagles are. It's just like Chris, I do not know how he fell that far with this run of offensive tackles and quarterbacks. That's the only thing that makes sense. I thought he was a top 15, top 12 talent, and he just fell right into their laps.
And he was your favorite player?
He was definitely one of my more favorite players in this draft. Like I said, he rose in every bar. He hit he checked every box. I think this is a great pick. I mean, I think this is a terrific pick, man. I don't know how Howie and them get so lucky. That's how I'm going to put it.
They get lucky. Interesting. Interesting choice of words.
Well, some of it's luck.
You think so?
Well, I mean, he fell to them, right? I mean, what did they have to do with that?
Well, I mean, is it really failing, or does it actually play into what I've been trying to tell you forever? That, offenses are where it's at nowadays.
Yeah, in last night's draft.
No, I'm just saying. But that's the trend where it's going, Joe. 15, they took 14 offensive players before anybody even thought about taking a defense.
Yeah, but wasn't that more because it was a quarterback class.
It's because it fits my narrative.
Well, if it's your narrative,
it fits my narrative.
Is it going to happen again next year?
I'm proud of you, Hugh.
I mean, it potentially can.
No way.
Because there's going to be some quarterbacks that fail, and they're going to need some more quarterbacks. And the receivers, look at all the receivers that went in, the offensive linemen.
I get it. I mean, tackles, quarterbacks, receivers are going to be higher now than before.
Pat myself.
I'm just saying. If you want to say we're going to see this again next year, I
probably
doubt
will. We probably
will. No, you think next year is going to be 14 offense players before the first defense player?
Yeah,
no
probably.
Way. No way.
I don't
probably.
Think it's crazy to think that, like, we will see a lot more offensively heavy first rounds.
I agree with
in
that.
The future.
Yeah, no, I think it's probably going to be more, if I had to guess, like year to year, 18 to 14, 19, 13
sure.
in terms of,
yeah.
But I just think the 14 straight offensive players is more of an aberration.
It probably has a lot to do with the fact that there were a lot of quarterbacks
Six.
And O-linemen.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Let's just say it's interesting. Every year is kind of a different draft.
No, it is. You're right. Every year is a different draft. But it's just ironic that when you look at this year's draft, how many quarterbacks were taken and how many pass catchers and guys to protect their assets that were taken.
I just think it's funny that Micah Parsons is upset. I don't think he's crazy to say they were a little lucky. I mean, the top corner of the draft fell to them at 22. Last year, you couldn't call Howie lucky because he created that ninth pick with a trade. I mean, that's how he got the ninth pick in the draft, or 10th pick became the ninth.
See, now this is where we part ways, because I don't agree with anything that comes out of Micah Parsons' mouth.
Even if it's correct.
Even if it is correct. He's a Dallas Cowboy. I don't agree with
that. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate your stance on that. Even if it doesn't make sense, I appreciate it. Let's go to let's go to Derek. What's up, Derek?
What's up, fellas?
What's up,
how we
Derek?
Doing, Derek?
What's up? Yo, so the thing with the Joel thing.
What'd you think of it?
I think it was dirty. But I don't think that, what's his name, sold it well enough.
Mitchell.
Yeah, he just popped. He didn't even fall down. Like, if that was LeBron or somebody like that, like, I feel like they would have put the rest of the league under a little bit more pressure. But he just act like it was normal. You know what I'm
Derek,
saying?
Speaking of that, I don't know. Have you seen the LeBron flop compilation? I meant to send
That's
it to you,
That's what I'm
Joe.
Saying.
Dog, it is bananas, the compilation of flops that LeBron has had. I think it was this year, just this year.
Would you say he's a better actor or a basketball player? Because he's really good
at
basketball.
He could win some awards for the way that he flopped on some of those, man. It was
even remember when Draymond Green got suspended for hitting LeBron in his jewels?
Oh, like, yeah.
He really ain't even hitting that hard. But as I'm telling you, if Mitchell Robinson Or if it had been a different player, but they're not going to kick Joel out for, you know, for doing that to Mitchell Robinson because he ain't that big of a deal. And one more point I want to make about the A.J. Brown signing. I'm kind of relieved because I thought he was on his way out of here, man.
Well, I think a lot of people did, or at least the speculation that wouldn't
That's
go away.
That's probably why they gave him that money.
I think it is. No, Derek,
I wish somebody would do me like that. To let me know how
well,
much
you,
they
know,
love
you need to
me.
Do. You need to create trade speculation, or like,
well, I'm gonna get traded to.
No one. I mean, I know it's a little different for us, but you got to create an idea where the company's afraid of losing you.
I'm getting traded. Yeah. Traded back
hopefully
to him.
You're not doing a good job.
He's his mouth shut now. Hopefully, he stopped all them subliminal messages and you know posting Tom Brady and all that because he had me thinking that he was on shaky ground here. So I'm relieved. He's the highest paid receiver by yearly average.
Yep.
So. We should be ready to go. I hope they get like a middle linebacker. It'd be cool to get Trotter son, but that'd be kind of fairy tale. But
definitely
I don't
fairy
know.
Tale.
I trust Howie. You know what I mean? But the Sixers, they let Brunson get 39. You know what I'm saying? And they set the other guys down. So I think that was a huge difference in the game.
I agree. And Derek, you know what I mean? It was happening eventually, right? And we appreciate the phone call. Eventually.
You weren't going to keep him down
yeah,
long.
Brunson's too good at this point to you know, keep holding him to 22, 23 points. So he went off, but the Sixers still win the game because even though he had 30-something, Embiid had 50 points. I mean, when your best player has 50 points in a playoff game, as long as some of the other guys show up, not even including a certain small forward making $39 million a year, but as long as certain players show up along with the star, you're going to be in good shape. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Drew in Westchester. Hey, Drew.
Hey, what's up, folks? Shout out to Chris about 30 minutes ago. Look, I'm running on like 3 hours of sleep. I can't match his energy, but he fired me up, man. That was an epic Chris call there.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm running on very little energy too. And that was like a jolt of coffee here as we just I heard that and I woke up again for the second half of the show.
Yes, good way to get going for day two. So, look, maybe there was a little bit of luck involved, but I think last night definitely kind of showed, like, the maturity of Howie a little bit in terms of the draft. You know, I was real into I like Quinn Young. I think it's a good pick. I was real into the edge rushers, like Dallas Turner, like Jared Verse. And I kept saying, like, as they were dropping, I'm like, get on the phone with the Broncos. Get on the phone with the Seahawks. But I think ultimately the fact that he, you know, saved – two picks while still getting a good player is just really nice work. I think my fear was kind of ending up in like Marcus Smith, no man's land. And you know, that didn't happen. So I think just like shout out to Howie on a good process there.
Yeah. He's really good. I mean, I think it's the thing contracts trades, but he's also really good at knowing the league and knowing where things are going to go. And
yeah,
you know,
no, reading the tea leaves.
Yeah. He said it last night after the draft that I think they asked him like, when did you kind of feel good that he would be there or you'd get a guy you want? And I think he said like around 15, they kind of counted the players they liked versus how many picks were left. And they almost felt like there's no reason to move up. We'll get someone we like here.
For sure. And I think the Falcons definitely helped with that too, with whatever their weird strategy was. My second point, I do think it would have been interesting. I thought the Steelers were going to take the lineman from Duke, who I wasn't super high on, but I do think it would have been interesting if both, you know, Quinyon Mitchell and Fatanu were on the board when the Eagles picked who they might have taken there. And I do think it's important to get a lineman tonight. Like, I'm okay passing yesterday, but I looked at the depth chart yesterday. Some of, like, the guys, like, 6 through 8 who would be, like, the immediate backups, like, I'm not even sure who a couple of those guys are. If I'm Statland, I'm kind of telling Howie, like, dude, like, you got to get me someone to work with. It didn't have to be a first-round pick, but get me someone tonight who I can, you know, mold into a starter.
Oh, there's no doubt, Drew, and we appreciate the phone call. The depth chart of tackle is weak. It's flat-out weak. I think they need to address that tonight. They got two picks to do. All right, right back to all your Sixers and Eagles phone calls at the 12 o'clock hour. And also, it's Friday, a Fransky Friday. Another win for the city yesterday afternoon. The Phillies get the split in Cincinnati. We'll talk to Scott on the other side about the Phillies. They head out west now to face the Padres tonight. Zach Wheeler, incredible yesterday. Bryce Harper back. A few minutes of Phillies talk with Scott Fransky. Right back to all your calls. 215-592-9490 for Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Everyone knows by now the major news, the new big acquisition. Kyle Schwarber's newest teammate. Me. No, I'm not playing for the Fightins, but as you've heard, I've partnered with Kyle and Yards Brewing Company's Philly Standard Beer. the tailgate beer. This season, when Kyle goes yard, beers are on Kyle. At bars all over the area, you can enjoy a free Philly Standard the day after Kyle goes yard. Download the Yards Brewing Company app for details and participating bars. Yards Brewing Company, celebrating 30 years, made by Philadelphia. Drink responsibly.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.